champ is here.
Uh-huh.
The champ is here.
I have arrived.
The champ is here.
Holla.
The champ is here.
Listen, the champ I'ma kill him with the first verse.
The
and I'ma bury him
here.
With the second.
Ha. The champ is here.
Watch.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boys, play.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I think the weekend was very much a return to form in a whole number of ways.
By weekend, do you mean Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, still getting the hang of that. But yeah, a VFL game at
I can't remember a game
Friday.
Day feeling less like a game day.
Yeah. Yeah, the Thursday night thing, the Friday lunchtime thing. It is... A number of people have said it, but it is really... I enjoy the subsequent weekend of football much more after we've had a really satisfying win as the first game up. But is it... I find it hard to think about how that game could have been more satisfying.
St Kilda had 11 inside 50s in the second half of the game.
Yep.
This is showing my age a bit, Nick, but I'm going to make a Pulp Fiction reference here. Watching that game live and just seeing the Saints completely unable to even conceptualize how they would score a goal except by sheer luck, it felt like watching a sort of 2.5 quarters of someone locked in the gimmick cage.
I didn't see that analogy coming.
They were broken and there was nothing particular. It's just the pressure was too much for them and it got too much for them sort of halfway through the second. And then they just, you know, they're in the game and then just suddenly they just had, like I said, they had a 22-1 clearance run against them. And they were just so comprehensively beaten in a fair way, in a reasonable way, but just I've never seen a team... just so mentally submitted to their fate.
Mm.
Like a good team too.
Yeah, I was about to say we saw this from the other side a few times in 2016, but yeah, it's... I was surprised, frankly, at how much we dominated the second half. Like normally we have a period of dominance and then the other team comes back into goals, into the game and stabilizes it with a few goals, but... No, they just kept on coming and kept on coming, and the Saints' vintage is a mess, and ours is in good shape now.
The last quarter, the pressure rate dropped off considerably for us. It was the only quarter where they actually beat us in the pressure rate. But and you know, we were doing funky stuff late in the game where you know we played Nank probably forward for a good last 6-7 minutes of the game, gave Pickett a bit of a run in the ruck, which we'll talk about more. I mean, can't wait to talk about it. But, you know, even then when our foot was firmly off the pedal, to use a tortured analogy, that they still couldn't come back. It was such an absolutely impressive domination.
Yeah, so, you know, we've nearly doubled them in inside 50s, absolutely smashed them in centre clearances and clearances. We didn't get much reward for effort early, but... all the tackles inside forward 50 were a good sign. So, yeah, it was pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was such a return to form, and it was great to see the King again. And it was just my son who had just enjoyed it. Like everyone on the ground, who I think was a Tiger supporter, enjoyed it a great deal, despite Dockland's best ability to make fans feel unwelcome. Just wonderful, thoughtful touches, like very long queues at the concessions. Someone whose job it was, who multiple times would, even when there was no one around, would tell people you couldn't congregate in the concrete concourse at all, even though it's fairly airy. And they would actually tell you to move on, and you couldn't wait there at all. You had to go and sit in the stands where things are, in a roof stadium where things are actually, there's more air being shared. You know, just little things like just make you feel unwelcome and like that it's not really a stadium it's a stadium that's more about compliance than it is about making people feel at home.
Yeah. Taking the charm away from an already largely charmless venue. It's quite the achievement.
I actually know someone who left before the game started because they found the stadium so unlikable and went and watched the game at the Rising Sun. So,
good times.
Yeah, when people are doing that, it's pretty much a sign you're doing something wrong. But back to the game, which was absolutely magnificent. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there. What were a few highlights for you?
Well, speaking of people who thoroughly enjoyed their time, I put it to you that Toby Nankervis has had few better days at the office.
No, well, I mean, he just got not the maximum coaches votes, but he was the leading player on the ground with the coaches vote. Huge amount of footy tap outs, but the tackles and the pressure acts were so high. I mean, there were moments where you could actually see, there was a moment, you know, where Dusty missed him with the hand pass when he was running towards goal. It's not as obvious on the replay, but I swear watching it live, you could tell Toby was deliberately giving away the free kick, but he was just going to put on the maximum amount of pressure possible. All right, let's be honest. He was going to put the maximum amount of pain on the St Kilda midfielder as possible, just to put a physical intimidation. And then later on, he tombstoned someone in the centre square. It was a very dominant performance. And by the way, just not to pick on St Kilda too much more, but when Hunter kicked his first goal, he had a big game.
I had this in my notes as well.
Oh, okay. Well, what did you notice?
Well, it's probably it's comparing two very different things. But a 28-year-old who's just kicked his first AFL goal I don't even think half the team got around him, compared to the way the VFL guys got around Sydney Stack when he kicked a goal. One of these teams has a better culture than the other.
Yeah, exactly. Like every time, like he was in for a huge game that game, Hunter. He was like, this was his moment to shine. He's playing against a 3-time premiership ruckman who everyone knows is a bit of a hard ass. Huge goal. The game was still in the balance at the time of his goal. I mean, it was a nice goal. And as you say, the team barely sort of noticed it was actually a huge moment in the game. And, you know, basically, if that had been Richmond, I reckon every player would have sprinted to pat him.
Yeah, totally.
And like, I don't think Richmond's special. I think any decent club would do that. Yeah, it was really noticeable. You just a very different club culture.
Yeah, it's been a tough start to the year for them. I noticed among the St Kilda players that he buried, he got Jack Higgins, a good one. And I entirely don't think it was in any way personal. It was just he was just in the way.
Yeah, so I think the most telling thing about the Jack Higgins reaction, that when that little leprechaun got a few touches, they edited the sound on the TV so the boo sounded louder. The atmosphere was just apathetic.
I did appreciate that it was quite a muted celebration when he kicked a goal. He just, you know, high-fived his teammates and moved on. And he's a guy who enjoys a celebration, so I thought that was quite an appropriate response to the circumstance.
Yeah, quite emotionally mature. The Richmond players didn't, even though, you know, he did choose to leave the club in circumstance we covered in great depth last pod, but no one really cared. I didn't really notice anything. There wasn't any particular hostility or reaction to him. Just a little bit of apathy with Jack Higgins that people don't really. And he kicked two nice goals. Both of them were clever ways to find space, but and both of them were done through his attributes of knowing what, reading the play and just finding a hole in the zones. But I don't think there's anyone particularly missing him. I did think of Dan Butler, that I know Dan Butler was watching the VFL on Friday. So he's still keeping his Tigerland links. He might have had some mates playing. But yeah, it was yeah, there was just apathy towards Jack Higgins, and I saw he got smacked a bit in the press, but, you know, God, small forward on a team that's getting absolutely belted.
Yeah, God, an easy day. He was miles away from being St Kilda's worst player, I thought. One player, so we mentioned Nant got the coach's votes. On the AFL player ratings, the best player on the ground was Shane Edwards, who at age 32 is averaging a career high in disposals.
How good was that goal?
Oh.
It was just, you know, if you wanted to sort of, if that was a wine, that would be the wine you'd release to celebrate the, you know, as the winery's 50th birthday. Mm. You know, it was just absolutely pure vintage cheddar. And as you say, as good as any goal he's, you know, he's kicked more spectacular goals, but it, you know, that's even in his advanced age, it's just as good. It's as his best goal in many years. So yeah, it's a privilege to watch him. Just while we're praising the old blokes, Cochin got coach's votes.
Hmm. I was mildly surprised by that, but, you know, it was a team effort, and he was definitely part of the comprehensive pantsing in the middle.
Did you notice his game time was really low?
No, but
it was in the 60s.
Doesn't surprise me.
And it, he didn't actually, his game time wasn't that low the week before, so it was interesting. I wonder whether they're doing a bit of management,
using Kim and Narak,
or maybe using him as a shock weapon.
Speaking of midfielders and career highs, it was a career high in disposals for Shea Bolton as well, and yeah, 8 clearances.
And an absolutely beautiful marking goal, admittedly, when the game was probably his goal was the one that ended it as a contest, but that might be a bit generous to the Saints. But yeah, absolute joy to watch. His pressure rate's really high too, 47, which was, you know, obviously half, slightly more than half of Jack Graham's, but you know, it's hard to come at the king. But a really solid all-round ground and game, and of course, inevitably, the speculation about his contract is coming up in the paper today.
I know, it does.
What did you think of Ryan? Sorry.
It does worry me.
Yeah, as previously discussed, it makes sense. What did you think of Mansell's game?
I thought he looked like part of the team. Like, he went back in front of Carlisle, I think in the second quarter, which was brave. He's pretty quick. His disposal a little bit shaky at times, and he sort of fumbled the ball a few times as well. But he doesn't look out of place.
No, that was sort of my reaction too, was that he doesn't look like a kid who was not drafted twice. And he had an injury in the 18th draft, but in his year 18, when he was 18. But did you notice when he got that free kick unfairly paid against him for chopping the arms? He got really high on that, and he has long arms. Like, he's not without tools, and his kicking is quite good, and he's a nice long kick.
And he's fast. So he's definitely fast.
Yeah, so there's a little something there actually. Like he's got some elite attributes. You know, he's not perhaps one of these slightly older players who you can see their ceilings quite low. I think he has potentially as your carefully balanced words were saying, that, you know, we don't know enough about him yet. But I also don't think. I think there is a chance he could be a 100-game player.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. And we've seen part of the reason for optimism is we've seen Richmond really help these guys develop and make the best of the opportunity as well. So, yeah, it's all good. Speaking of defenders, I thought it was Dylan Grimes' best game for the year.
Yeah, I mean, the defence was immense, obviously, and he was looking very frisky, wasn't he, across the pitch, and he liked playing at Dockland. So, yes, it was a very nice game from Dillon. And the back line in general, I can't think of anyone who was really can. The only one who sort of had a bad start to the game was Bolter, and then he, as he often does, he doesn't seem to be affected by an early stuff up and rebounded quickly and did some good things later in the game.
No, he's got the opening batsman's 2 second memory, which is very useful. Yeah, I mean, King's not an easy matchup. The run from defence was very good. Hawley's fit in as seamlessly as you'd expect. I thought the forward line wasn't function. The pressure was up, but the fluency of movement wasn't quite there in the first quarter. But after that, Jack Lynch and the small forwards, it looked good.
Yeah, and it all comes partly from the fact that because the Saints couldn't move the ball, they kept turning it over and then they're dead. You know, that's what we're brilliant at, is off the turnover. Lynch had 3 goals without, you know, looking amazing, but did one or two useful things, including, I think, the first goal he set up to Fridge Graham, wasn't it, with a beautiful second effort. So looking solid, but, you know, Jack's obviously the star here with kicking the 5 goals on the Matties match day.
Yeah.
And, you know, his goal kicking is just so money. Oh, I mean, you must be loving
it. It's just in a perfect groove. And even when he had the shot from outside 50 and he ran around to get a bit more momentum, like he exactly knew how much length he had in his leg and what he needed to do. And yeah, it was great. He was super switched on even through junk time in the fourth quarter. Speaking of forwards, we rightfully called out Arts' game from the week before, but, you know, 16 disposals, 11 score assists. This was a pretty solid effort.
It was, and he kicked a goal too. It was a much better a 10 score involvements. It was a much better game. You know, it's hard. I've learnt my lesson. I'm not going to... I'm not going to bag him too hard because he's such an admirable and footballer, as is Lambert, whose game I quite liked. Mm-hmm. And now, there's 2 more players I wanted to talk about because I think we're, as we sometimes do during a win, we mention every single player. Oh, God, I really should mention. My 8-year-old son picked up how long Camden McIntosh kicks and how important he is on the wing.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay, but the 2 players I wanted to talk about, Rioli first. 2 goals, good game. His pressuring's great. Did some really good things. He 2 grabs so much. He's just not clean. And I don't know. I never would have said that about him sort of 4 or 5 years ago. And I don't know whether we were wrong about him then or whether he's lost his confidence or because, you know, I wouldn't have thought touch is something you lose. But I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think it's a form thing, perhaps. And I think he's a little bit down on his form and the game's not quite coming to him as easily as it does, you know, when you're going well and just it feels like the ball's bouncing your way. But yeah, look, he's got 6 goals from 4 games. So yeah, he's not going badly, but yeah, he's certainly not going as well as you'd like, and yeah, frankly, there's some pressure coming as well, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the AFL.
And lastly, the thing I think you know, Nick, that I've been most keen to talk about is Pickett's game in the ruck. And actually, his best moment though was, you know, I think when Brad Hill dropped that mark. Look, Pickett is hard enough now and well enough known in the AFL. I reckon Brad Hill knew that Pickett was near that and that was in his head a bit when he dropped it. And then Pickett just 2 steps banged it from 50. That was the only time of the game, believe it or not, Nick, that I got out of my seat and cheered. Even Dusty's kick didn't get me out because that Pickett one wasn't a key moment in the game. It was just magnificent. But, he's so hard and admirable. He's really going up. He's climbing and climbing in my favourite player rankings. And, of course, now that he's played second ruck, he instantly went up 20% in my Q rating. But, Yeah, like Dim has now talked about it, that he rucked in the waffle a bit, and he does have a leap. You know, there's a point, how much is that useful? You know, if the leap means you're losing by 5 inches rather than, sorry, 5 centimeters rather than 10, does that really matter? But what he did do was in the key moment in the third, well, not a key moment, but the Saints had kicked 2 goals in a row in the third quarter, and it was the only time they threatened to come back. That was the time when Pickett first got a long run in the middle, and he was involved in 2 key clearances using his skills. And, you know, one beautiful semi-throw out of the ruck, but also a beautiful long clearance. That, and that, maybe winning ruck taps is not sustainable, but him as a shock ruckman going in and, you know, being a fourth midfielder like Grigg used to do, that is sustainable and that is replicable. And the other thing, Nick, in some ways he's the most Richmond player most like Toby Nankervis.
Ooh, that, I hadn't thought of that, Tank.
But Toby is, you know, he's more and more the most... Toby, aside from his skills, you know, he had 20 possessions on the weekend, but 22, sorry. Toby's job, Toby knows he's good at it, and he really emphasises it, is the physical pressure and putting on the hurt. And Pickett's the second best on the team.
That is true. Plus, he's capable of kicking a goal from that would have been good from 70 metres from the look of it.
God, that was a beautiful
game.
There are many imperfections to Pickett's game, but and he's obviously he's liked because of his story. But as a footballer, I think he's a really admirable, interesting guy to watch. I'm very glad we have him. And now I promised it was going to be the last thing I'd say, but I just didn't want to say Dusty's goal.
Oh, speaking of pure class,
I reckon there was a moment. If you looked at there was at least two. If that had been a normal player, the Saints would have converged on him. But you can see they're thinking, what's he going to do with the ball? Oh no, I can't be stiff armed. You know, I've got to sort of approach. Like that's what they tell them, is to not rush at him, like to approach slowly, and you know, use the thing. And they just like, but Dusty's reputation based, and the fact he's, I mean, he's quick. Obviously, he got through that little hole, but it was basically Dusty's reputation. The Saints were beaten once Dusty got it because they were just mentally shot. They didn't know how to approach it. If a spectator wasn't looking, and I don't know why they wouldn't have been, that, you know, that kick could have killed someone. It was such a laser beam.
I know. I mean, other people have said this as well, but it does. It's remarkable how quickly his 250th has come up this week.
You know why better than anyone.
Oh, well, yes. It's easier to play a lot of games when you're both healthy and playing 3 to 4 finals every year.
The 3 to 4 finals is a good joke, which I've already made on Twitter. But yeah, he's the fact that he's Superman when it comes to injuries that helps a great deal.
Yeah, and. Yeah, we are blessed. I've never understood why St Kilda didn't go harder after him. Like, why was it? Maybe they, you know, nibbled and didn't get anything back. But yeah, it seems pretty inexplicable.
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember that. For a lot of, like, 2017 was Dusty's by far his best year from his previous years, and there was sort of, you know, there were character questions.
But
in his career,
that St Kilda even now have so little star power at that level. Surely you take a chance, because that sort of star power is also very hard to come by. So yeah. Don't understand it.
Look, Nick, I just think if they'd gone after Dusty, they wouldn't have been able to recruit Dan Handebrey. So, you know, like,
or Brad Hill.
Yes. All right. Anything else on the game?
No. Very, very satisfying. Look, before we talk about the VFL, I thought the AFLW best and fairest. It just looked like it was a lot of fun, and it wasn't a complete walkover. Unlike last year's medal.
Yeah, I mean, still the top three leaderboard was pretty much as expected. I'm glad you're sitting down when we realized Ellie McKenzie was going to be best first year player. But lovely to see Katie Brennan return to form. As you know, I'm a huge fan of her footy. Yeah, it was a sort of predictable top three, as I said. But was there, and you know, keep in mind that Monique missed a game too. Mm. Now, was there anyone else in the sort of votes per game list that stood out to you?
Gabby Seymour pops up, although I think she played most of the games. But again, finished sixth in the best and fairest, playing a position that she didn't play very much last year, playing a game that she's still relatively new to in a much better side. That was a pretty good effort. But yeah, a lot of the others, as you said, as expected, you know, we know that Harriet Cordner, Beck Miller and Sarah Darcy had great seasons in defence. Maddie Brand Cazziano, much improved. Like, yeah.
She stood out to me. She was very, well, she was like top seven or so.
Mm. Yep. Ninth, but yeah.
Top ten.
But
yeah, like a young player, very promising. And as is my want, because she's the second rucker, I talk about her too much, but Sabrina Fredericks actually polled slightly worse than I thought. I was actually thinking, you sort of take the reputation things aside, she was okay as a second rucker.
I thought she did yeoman's work in a complimentary role. So,
yeah, but the coaches didn't really agree. She was sort of equal 15th, and she played every game. So, yeah. I mean, obviously not terrible. Still, if you're 15th, equal 15th, it means you're still in the 22. But, yeah, it was noteworthy. But, yeah, interesting overall. And
The girls looked like they had a lot of fun,
too. Sort of rumours of big announcements come. Sorry.
I was just going to say, the girls looked like they had a lot of fun, too. Good on them.
Yeah, imagine probably maybe a bit less performative than the men's, you know, it's a bit smaller an event and probably more fun because of it.
Definitely. So I was so happy.
Speaking of fun,
I was so happy to have the VFL back. Oh my God.
Was it the stats app?
It was having the VFL app, being able to watch the game. It felt like a proper game, like those, you know, when you heard reports of, Sandringham and St Kilda affiliated.
Of course, sorry.
Like last year when there were things about, the coaches, you know, don't mind the practice games. I just think, it just feels like real footy, and I think that would be hard for the players not to feel that sort of artificiality of it all. Whereas this,
yeah, it's like it's the coaches. The coaches have very specific jobs, and they're very much in their box. Mm. And then their job is not to be. Their job is to teach Ryan Garthwaite how to edge people out slightly better, or someone else. Patrick Nash to position himself well. They're not thinking about the stewardship or the game or sort of the broader psychological impact, which is fair enough. It's not their job. But, yeah, there should be a VFL. Mm. Absolutely no doubt. And that's why the only thing I
think it's much better for the players' development.
The only thing I agree that – The only thing I agree with Brian Taylor on his very frequently used public podium is that coaches shouldn't be the steward, shouldn't be in charge of what makes the game entertaining. Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it was a fun game of football.
The good guys.
Good guys won. Riley Colley Dawkins had a big career high in disposals with 8 tackles. Jack Ross was really good. A lot of the young players played well. Yeah, it was a really fun game.
Yeah, so I managed to sneak away just during my lunch break and I caught sort of a quarter, basically a half. A few things that aren't obvious from the stat sheets or just the highlights was we are struggling with the three rucks. Samson Ryan could kick some nice sort of Liam McBean-like roles, but he's no good in that key forward role is not good for him structurally. Like he's not learning things that he's actually going to be able to do in the AFL.
I noticed he got edged out more than a few times. Unfortunately.
Yeah, our forward line was actually pretty dysfunctional in the first quarter, especially. And, you know, that's sort of understandable. Ryan Garthwaite as well, who was playing back because of Big E. Miller was injured and Big E's still suspended. Tell you what, Ryan Garthwaite is good. He's a very, very solid footballer. He was notably AFL quality and edgy, like just dominating his man and with clever body work. We do train our backmen well at Richmond. CCJ kicked some really nice goals. You notice it a bit more when you're there live how much bigger and stronger than he is. CCJ is enormous these days.
He's a big dude.
He looks like an 80s pro wrestler, especially against some of the sort of, you know, the Sandy guys. It was...
Although the Sandy first ruck is pretty enormous. He's a...
I'm talking about the
defenders, yeah. Because their first ruck is about 206 centimeters. So he's a big guy.
Yeah, because we played Chola's first ruck, so he sort of did the early bounces and got, you know, not nice big leap as he is prone to do. But you know, is he gonna in the AFL and you'll get a big 110 kilo guy who leaps back at you? It's not necessarily going to work out. But yeah. So CCJ was a bit, like he was good, maybe not. I was a little bit frustrated at a few times about his positioning around the ground. This is the minutiae of going into seeing stuff live. It's difficult though, because you've got three guys and they all really need to get oxygen at first ruck.
And he had 22 disposals, which for a ruckman, that's a very solid number.
Now, you've already mentioned Callum Collins-Jones, I was last pod, I was, you know,
Riley Collins-Jones
would start a running. Yeah, what did
Callum
I say?
Callum Collins-Jones. You got your hyphens confused.
Yeah, RCD. RCD, I was actually going to start running gag about every other player on the list to debut in front of RCD, but he actually put in a very, very good performance and looked really solid. He tailed off in the last quarter, but he was a leading possession getter on the ground midway through the third, which is exactly what he needed to do. And his tackling is good. Him and Ross, they really look AFL attribute. Martin too, but Ross and
RCD... Not to the same extent, I thought.
No, exactly. But Ross and RCD really look like AFL-level midfielders when they're out there, especially when RCD's getting it. I thought the midfield was very impressive. Obviously, they were pretty good because we won easily. Paddy Nash's got bigger.
He's in around. Very good form. I think we've gone too long without talking about Maurice Rioli Jr. Because certainly...
I knew you were going to say
certainly that. From the broadcast, like the buzz of anticipation every time he got near the ball was palpable.
Yeah, and my only insight to, I mean, obviously the goals speak for themselves, the Dimmers talked about his relentless tackling. They were tapping to him in the midfield early in the game, which is always a sign of respect that someone's considered one of the better players on the team. Like I managed to make a conversation about Maurice Rioli about Ruckman. But yeah, no, I'm a very exciting guy. I mean, he's just got, you know, one grabbing tricks, as you say, he's putting pressure on the ones. Now, you know, does he have ones level stamina? I don't know, but Dimmer loves his pressure.
He does. And yeah, the second efforts, like he did a fantastic one on the Jack Dyer construction site stand side, where he tackled and then followed up with a smother, and it's like, ooh, yeah, that gets you noticed.
Oh, absolutely. Anyway, a very solid and enjoyable game.
I quite liked the standard of the VFL listed players was better than I expected. too. There's a few guys I'm sort of keeping an eye on, but and actually, interestingly, if you were going purely off recent draft ratings of, you know, guys who were talked about as chances to get picked who didn't get picked, we've got a couple of those who actually didn't make the team. But yeah, I didn't mind Sam Durham, actually, who's a 19-year-old kid from near Shepparton, I think. And yeah, I thought he looked all right.
What number was he?
Ooh, one of the ones in the 50s.
Okay, was he the guy who kicked a couple of goals in the fourth
quarter? No, Angus, that was Angus Hicks, who's...
Oh, that's right, it was Angus Hicks, yeah. I did. There were a few of them who did nice things. One of them, very, very loud. I won't mention his name to not embarrass him because I did look it up. He got a terrible ham crass from Paddy Nash when he was in Acres of Space, and he audibly swore so that the whole outer hall heard it, and there was much chuckling from the faithful. Very solid. Speaking of unfortunately solid, Nick, this year, Nick, we are running into a red-hot Melbourne.
We are, and I've got to say that watching a bit of their game yesterday, I was struck that any team that's unbeaten after five rounds, even if they, you know, the standard of the competition has been middling at times, but they've been able to do so while playing Mitch Brown and Tom McDonald in key forward roles. That's quite an impressive effort.
Yeah. I guess, and you know, they do have some top end star power.
Oh, Clayton absolutely. Was
having a great season.
Sorry, what did you say?
Is Clayton Oliver's having a great season?
Look, the fruits of their 15-year long rebuild, you can see it. Like the top end star power of, you know, Oliver, Gorn, Petrarca, support from Brashaw and Viney in the middle,
and as much as it pains me to admit,
Levers definitely playing well. Stephen Main.
It's taken him 4 years to get over what Jacob Townsend did to him, but he has finally done it.
Yeah, finally exiling him to the Gold Coast has helped recover his confidence. They're playing better as a team. They're going pretty well when Ed Langdon's kicking goals.
He's actually Ed's doing very well on the AFL ratings. Mm. He's top 50 at the moment this year. Your point exactly. And Kosei Pickett's top 50 as well. You know, as you point out, relatively high draft pick, pick 10. And a lot of fun to watch when you're wasn't so good in the Geelong game, but he's been good in some of their other games. He'll get hopefully a lockdown job from Baker. But they are annoyingly fun.
Yeah.
When you're not playing them. And Nick, I'm stealing this gag off a friend, but you know, and Jones, of course, is having his 300th game, and he's very admirable. He could have taken less money to play at a successful club, but no, he stayed at Melbourne to be very well paid for all those years of mediocrity, and he's been rewarded with 300 games, which, you know, let's face it, he wouldn't have got him many other clubs. I actually quite like Nathan Jones, but and I really admire his football, but yeah, it is
the worst.
Not all 300 games are equal, and Dusty's 250th is
reminder that
I think highlights that.
Look, he's had some truly woeful teammates. That he's got. I think we discussed before. He and Cade Simpson are extremely high on the list of most losses by an AFL player. He certainly deserves to be part of a better team, even if he's certainly not the player he was.
No. Anyway, how are you feeling about the game?
So we started off about a week ago. We were 15-point favourites. Let's come into around 9.5, and I think that's about right. They're They're a pretty good team. They haven't played, well, they're clearly, they're 5-0 with a good percentage. They haven't played another really good team in form. So this is a huge test for them. I think they'll be right up for it. And they tend to be motivated for these games anyway. So, yeah, I reckon it's going to be a really ding-dong affair. And, yeah, I do worry that they are an extremely good clearance team. So, yeah, this is a bad week not to have Deion Prestia.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, though, they are missing Stephen Mayne after that terrible eye socket injury against Geelong, and it didn't matter against Hawthorn because it's Hawthorn. But, yeah, I think they're going to miss him this week. He's a big out, and we're not the right team to be short in the back line against. So I'm a bit more – like, it's hard not to be confident after last week. And, you know, even the week before, we were playing very good footy. But, you know, they're up and about. The members, apparently, there's a bum fight on to get their reserve tickets because, you know, when the D's are up, the Goodies, when the D's are up and about, the Robbie Flower – well, the Robbie Flower jumpers don't come out, obviously, because you're not allowed to wear them in the members. But, yeah, there's the bit of excitement in the air. But it is a really big game.
Yeah.
State the obvious Anzac Day, and much better game than the actual Anzac Day game.
Oh, absolutely. At least you'll be able to tell the teams apart. The one thing, like Melbourne, you know, Max Gorn in the ruck, I really like Luke Jackson, who I think is frankly being wasted in his current role where he spends a lot of time forward, but because I think he's going to be a really good ruck down the track. But for a team playing two genuinely good ruckmen, do we need to play CCJ?
Oh, I like how you're thinking.
Look.
And so, obviously, yes, of course. interesting. I reckon it'll depend a bit on the weather because it'll... You know, you'll have to play CCJ a bit forward, and if the big guys can clunk them, maybe they'll be tempted to go with their rarely used. But they have used it, but just occasionally used through tall forwards. But, oh, you've got me excited about that. Any other big changes you see coming in the team?
No, I don't think so.
Very hard to make changes.
It's hard to make changes, even with, you know, the VFL team going really well.
I should have put the context on Twitter because, of course, the nuance was lost. But, like, the logical thing here is RCD deserves a debut game after his week in the VFL. But actually the only place that's really there's a spot open is the sub because there are no injuries. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And playing, he would be a debutant sub. So, which would be quite ironic considering how long he's waited for the – well, quite interesting considering how long he's waited to be a sub. But, yeah. Yeah, it's just so hard to make a change to that team when it just pulled out a game like last week.
I know. Going well. Looking forward to it, though. It feels like a big game.
I absolutely can't wait.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're a Trent Tiger Talk.